you wanted a time of greeting each other before I start, or?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Thanks.
Well, let's go ahead and get started. Open again to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read again Colossians chapter 1, verses 1. Through 12. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 6, and we actually were introduced to this book, and we looked at the background of some of the individuals that are involved in this church, and we'll just kind of read it again, get ourselves familiar with the first six verses of this passage, and then for tonight, the message comes from verses 7 through 12 of Colossians chapter 1. So Colossians chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. But let's start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it is also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Let's open our word of prayer. Father, I thank you for allowing us to be able to come back here tonight, to be able to look at this passage again this week, and may you just encourage, as I preach your word, may you go before, and may you encourage and challenge hearts to examine their lives and to realize, do they have the real Christianity that this pastor presents? We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Last week, as I mentioned, we looked at verses 1 through 6, and we'll just kind of look again at, as it says here in verse 3, we give thanks. And this whole passage we'll be looking at last week and then tonight is a kind of Paul's prayer for the Colossians. And it says here, Paul gave thanks, number one. It says here he was praying always. He continually on a regular basis, when he heard from Epaphras about these individuals, he continued to pray. Also, verse 4 says, since he heard Epaphras' message was brought to him about these Colossian believers that were struggling with false teachers. So since he heard of this, he was praying on a regular basis. Verse 5, it says also, he was thankful to God because of the treasure that's laid up for them. Verse 5, which is laid up for you in heaven. He was thankful to God because they were true Christians. They had placed their trust in Jesus Christ, and he was thankful for that. Also, says here, or which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. And so ultimately, where did their faith come from? It came from the gospel, and then the word of truth is God's word. So ultimately, their faith had a source. It was in Jesus Christ, and it was also, they found this message in God's word. Verse 6, which has come to you as it also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit. And this is the result we see. As they come to faith in Jesus Christ, the result is it begins to produce fruit in their life. And this fruit is the Holy Spirit beginning to produce the fruit of the Spirit, and found in Galatians 5:22, the love, the joy, the peace. This is the fruit that's beginning to be evident in these Colossian believers' lives. It also says here, this he's bringing forth fruits, and is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth. Ultimately, it's God's grace, our undeserved favor. We do not deserve God's salvation, but he has given it to us. We are sinners, and God, by his grace, extends his love and his compassion to us, and he has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place for our sins, and he gives us, Christ Jesus gives us his righteousness, and that's what we find here, God's grace of God in truth. It's found in God's word. But tonight, we'll be looking at verses 7 through 12. Verses 7 through 12. And in this passage, it's kind of broken up into three parts. Verses 7 and 8 talk about Epaphras. And verse 9 gives the reason. And then verses 10 through 12 give is the main reason here is that for this reason we have, since we dare heard it, do not cease to pray. And so because we have these three sections, how that it's the real example of Epaphras, and then how that verses 8 and 9, excuse me, 7 and 8 are how that the real reason why he came to Paul. Then verses 9, where he does not cease to pray for them, and then verses 10 through 12 is their walk. The true Christianity has a walk, and it's different from the world, and he gives us four reasons in verses 10 through 12. So let's turn to verse 7 of chapter 1. It says here, as they have you learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. And this is the individual that we believe that he was either saved or became a Christian in Ephesus. And then he traveled east 100 miles, and there he was one of the founders in starting this church in Colossae. And then heresy came into this church, and Epaphras traveled back to where Paul was in prison in Rome. And he gave a message about how that these false teachers had come into the church. And so this is why he was a faithful minister. He was willing to, not only did he trust in Jesus Christ, but then he was a faithful witness. He traveled out to Colossae and shared the gospel and helped found a church. And then, as he was ministering in this church, he became aware of these false teachers. And he was not sure how to deal with them, so he traveled clear to Rome. So it's present-day Turkey, the center of present-day Turkey. He traveled across the Mediterranean Sea clear to Rome. And there he found Paul on house arrest awaiting apostle execution. And he asked Paul for advice. And now Paul sends this letter back to the Colossians. And he says, this individual was a faithful. And it's an example for all of us today is, are we a faithful minister of Christ? And maybe most of you in this room here have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But are you a faithful witness? Are you willing, like Epaphras, to go out and to share the gospel? And if you're not in a church where there is a church, would you be willing to found a church like Epaphras? And then also verse 8 here says, who also declared to us the love in the Spirit. And so he declared the message to the Colossians, and many people were saved. They founded a church. And now he's also very concerned about the believers. He had a love for these individuals so much that it caused him to travel a very long distance. For us today to travel from Colossae to Rome, it'd be a pretty easy plane flight. But back in their day, they didn't have planes and cars. And so it was a great task for him to travel back to Rome. And his love for these believers so challenged him to leave. And it probably was a great financial burden, also very exerting a lot of energy to travel this far. But his love drove him to this long distance and to go to Rome and to address his concern to Paul. So let's think about this. Verses 7 and 8 talk about the example of the goal. For tonight, my title is The Goal of Christian Living or the Real Christianity. And Epaphras is an example in verses 7 and 8 of this real Christianity. He was dependable. And he was a disciple of Paul, was willing to continue to reproduce. And that's ultimately the goal of us as we share the gospel. We hope the individual trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior and then begins to grow in the Lord so much that he begins to share with other people how that he got saved and then also lead them to Christ, and hopefully they will begin to reproduce. And that's what Epaphras was. He came to Christ, and then he was willing to go out and share the gospel and lead others to Christ, and then he had a love for them that he continued to teach them, and he stayed among the Colossian believers and taught them. Love also overcame this distance. As I mentioned, he traveled. But love put the believers before himself. And we think about Paul. We mentioned how that Paul, his love caused him to go on 3 missionary journeys and to share the love of Christ with the Gentiles. But see here as well, Epaphras, his love caused him to travel from Colossae clear to Rome because he had a love for the believers. And that's an example of being dependable. Also, he says here the word fellow servant. This partnership is in being a bondslave for Christ. And he was a fellow servant of Paul, and he was a faithful servant. And he was willing to come along Paul and in Ephesus, and he was able to learn what Paul was saying. And then he took this message to Colossae, and he shared this message with believers. And so he was a fellow minister alongside of Paul. And he had a great devotion. He put Christ first. He was willing to do whatever it took to advance the gospel. And I'd like you to think about it tonight is, are you, like Epaphras, are you willing to put Christ first and desire to share the love of Christ with other believers? Are you committed to be a slave? And so this word fellow servant is he's a fellow slave alongside of Paul. It was his mission was to share the love of Christ with other people. It also had the word here, minister, alongside fellow servant. The emphasis is his activity rather than his relationship, his service performed. And so his emphasis that he was a minister alongside Archippus, we looked at last week, this family, this son, he was a minister alongside of Archippus. He also says here the word faithful. He was at the disposal of Christ. And so for the Colossians' sake, he was at the disposal, and he was willing to lay down everything that he was probably presently doing to provide for himself and to sacrifice and be willing to travel clear to Rome. And so he was faithful. He was not self-centered. And today, as we look at all our Christianity, I'd like you to think about it. Are you self-centered with your Christianity? And because oftentimes in our society today here in America, we're so consumed with what benefits us that we don't consider the needs of other believers around us. And Epaphras was not this way. He loved these believers so much that he was willing to sacrifice and even leave his job and possibly his family and again travel this long distance. So he was not self-centered. Do you expect God to cater to your every need? Lots of times here in our society today, even in our Christian society, they believe that God should just do everything and make them have a perfect life and no problems, no struggles. And but ultimately, as we think about it, that's kind of being self-centered. And we need to be more other-centered and have a life that's focused on glorifying him. No matter what happens to us, we're not living for happiness, but we're living for Christ-centeredness. And do you exist to glorify God like Epaphras was here in these verses in 7 and 8? And do you pursue happiness rather than godliness? And as we see here in this passage, Epaphras put godliness before happiness. Do you consider it a privilege to serve Christ? And as you think about it tonight, I know Sharon has been ministering in Children's Church, and it's an opportunity for her to minister to the young people. And it's an example of, are you willing to serve along other people and to teach young people? And is it a privilege to serve Christ? Our pride will not be wounded if we remove ourselves. And oftentimes, people can be really offended because they're self-centered and they're always focused on themselves. But if we remove ourselves and we're all focused on glorifying Christ, we will not be offended. And so that's an example we think about tonight for Epaphras. He was willing to be dependable, and he was not self-centered. And the words here in Jesus said in Mark 10, "Whoever will be great among you shall be a minister, and whoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all." And so Christ, you think about it, he came down from heaven. He was Lord of all. He created the whole heaven and earth. And then he came down and was born in a poor family. And he was born in a manger. And he did not receive the respect in this life that a true king of kings and the Lord of lords should have received. But he was willing to humble himself and be a servant. You think about how he washed the feet of the disciples. I was here a couple years ago when Nathan Gast, he had Jim come up here and sit in this chair, and he washed the feet of Jim, be an example of, he was willing to be a servant. He was the pastor of this church, but he was willing to be an example and serve the people in this church. It's the same way with Christ. Christ was willing to be a servant and to serve. And so think about it, the way you can truly be able to be a servant to all, or glorify Christ, is to be a servant to all and to have a desire to serve others. Let's continue on verse 8 here. It says, "Who also declared to us your love in the Spirit." And this is the message of why Epaphras was faithful. And it says here, "Who also declared to us." Who is this talking about? Epaphras. Epaphras declared the message. Paul was encouraged by the news of the gospel's advance. It had traveled from Ephesus into the interior of Turkey today to Colossae. And Paul was encouraged because he was under house arrest. He could not leave Rome. And he was waiting a possible execution. And so, but as he was restricted in his ability to advance the gospel, that was his one desire, Epaphras was able to continue on and to go and travel and share the message. And so Paul was encouraged by the news of the gospel's advance. And he could have been discouraged and said, "You know what? Lord, why can't you use me?" But he was thankful for the opportunity of Epaphras to continue to advance the gospel. And Paul was encouraged by the faithful companion. Not only was he encouraged about how the gospel was advancing, but he was encouraged because one of his own disciples, Epaphras, was a faithful minister and was continuing to advance the gospel. The Holy Spirit was changing lives, and also the Holy Spirit was beginning to show the love of Christ in individuals. And so that's why when Epaphras traveled back to Rome, where Paul was, Epaphras mentioned how they had a love for other believers, and he emphasizes this over and over again in this book. They had a true love for other believers. And so Paul was thankful that these individuals had love. It demonstrated that they had the true saving grace, and they had the Holy Spirit in their lives, who was producing this fruit of the Spirit. The tragedy of believers who squabble or argue. And you think about Philippians. Paul specifically mentions two people in that book, and he says we need to come together and not to squabble, not to be example to the rest of the world how that we just fight amongst each others, but he wanted them to have the love of Christ. This same love that the Colossians had, he wanted the Philippians to have. And he had to write a letter to them to say, stop squabbling, stop fighting amongst yourselves, and show the love of Christ. A true church helps those who hurt. And so you think about the opportunities we have today. We have opportunities to serve and encourage Cheryl as she is suffering. And as she has been able to get around as easily as she should, we can encourage her and minister to her. And a true church also restores the fallen. Those who have fallen into sin, we should not just shun them and push them away, but we should desire to restore them and bring them back to Christ. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have a love for one another. John 13:35. So hopefully, as we look outside these doors, we see the community. When they look at Fairhaven Baptist Church, do they see your love? Do they see your compassion, your kindness? And as I mentioned last week, we have an opportunity here in October. Everyone in the community knows, I've never been here, but I've heard how that you, when people go out door to door on Halloween, that you are able to show the love of Christ by sharing food with them. You're giving it's an opportunity for you to show the love of Christ to them, and the people in this community begin to recognize you as a loving church. And it just, we can maybe think of opportunities, other ways of showing the love of Christ to other people. So when they see our church, they don't just see the brick building on the corner. They see a church that loves them, and maybe they may encourage them to come to our services. So verses 7 and 8 talk about how that Epaphras was a faithful and dependable servant. But verse 9 here, in Paul's prayer, Paul faithfully prayed consistently. Let's look at verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so, since the day Paul heard from Epaphras about this church, he consistently prayed. If you think about it today, are you someone who consistently prays, maybe for missionaries, maybe for your pastor? Are you someone who consistently prays for your family to turn to Christ if they're not saved? And if they are saved, do you consistently pray that they would continue to seek him and obey him? And Paul was continually praying for these individuals. And it's an example for us. As think about our true Christianity, do we faithfully pray on a regular basis for other believers? The Colossians' understanding, and it says here in verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, so Paul and Timothy, since they heard about this message, they do not cease to pray and to ask that you may be filled. And so they're not ceasing in their prayer, and also they're praying that they'll be filled. What are they filled with? Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so two things he wants them to be filled with is the knowledge and understanding. So think about tonight, are you filled with knowledge and understanding? As you come here on a regular basis, you are fed by your pastor to know more about who God is and learn about how he loves you and learn about how all the inheritance we have as saints. But hopefully on a regular basis, you're also reading God's word and being challenged to learn more about who he is. Also, you can look at good Christian pastors that have written books that also can continue to challenge you to learn more about who God is. Also, you can look at Christian radio. You can be discipled just on your car as you drive to work or as you travel to the store. You can be challenged to begin to think more about who God is. And so Paul was thankful because these individuals, they were filled with a knowledge and understanding. And so the Colossians' understanding, they took the knowledge of truth and they meditated on it. And so God's knowledge surpassed human wisdom. The human wisdom of these secular, these false teachers, they thought they had a superior knowledge. But Paul is emphasizing how the knowledge you received of the gospel that brought you to salvation, that will also bring you to maturity. And they were saying, if you follow our special secrets, you'll be kinned again, really accepted in God's sight. But yet, they were taking themselves away from Scripture and focusing on some human wisdom. And so, God's knowledge, it surpasses human wisdom. And seek His will, be controlled by His will. And ultimately, as we read God's Word and meditate on it, the Holy Spirit begins to use it in our lives to transform us and make us more like His, Jesus Christ, God's Son. And it causes our thoughts and our actions to be changed. We begin to be less selfish, less sinful, and more like Christ, more set apart from this world. And it says here the word wisdom. And this is taking the knowledge that you receive and applying it. Wisdom to apply all that we have learned. All that you take in and you learn, you begin to apply it to your life. It causes you to begin to think biblically, and we can reject false doctrine. And Paul is beginning to begin how that he wants to challenge these Colossians to look at their foundation. And they were saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and nothing else, no works. But these false teachers were coming into the church and bringing in a different foundation, saying, you know what, we have all this human wisdom, and if you do these processes, you'll begin to be really accepted in God's sight. And they were taken away from the foundation of the gospel and then taking them back to a good work system. And Paul is saying, do not listen to their false knowledge, but go back to your source of the gospel. Isaiah said, if they speak not according to his word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. Timothy said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. And the thing about it tonight, are you base all of your thoughts on God's word? Or is there some false teaching that's crept into your thoughts and beginning to realize that, you know what, I'm basing my spirituality of growing in Christ on some non-basic things that are not based in God's word. Maybe some individual thought it was a good way of being spiritual, but yet it was not founded in God's word. And so you begin to be to examine your life. Is there, you have true Christianity? Is all what I believe founded in God's word? And it reminds me of a situation when I was in high school, and one of the older saints in the church who I looked up to began to mention, they were talking about having a Bible study, and started talking about some things that were kind of confusing to me. And the teacher actually had to stop this individual and talk to them after class, because they were actually raised in a Catholic home. And they become to Christ, but yet they still had some faulty doctrine that they kept hold of. And so this individual had to be discipled outside of class, and he said, you know what, this is really true what the Bible says, but you had some human wisdom that sounded good, but yet we need to focus and make sure everything we believe is truly found in God's word. And but verses 10 through 12, then, Paul says here, your walk. And see, think about this in verse 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray. So they're not stopping to pray. And they're asking that they would be filled with knowledge and understanding. Also, so this knowledge they have, they then use it and apply it and have understanding to apply it through their lives. And then verse 10, it continues on. It says, now that you have knowledge and understanding, it says here, that you may walk. And so this is ultimately the result, application of what you have learned. You begin to put it into your life. And so he's saying here, as you walk, and what is it when you walk? When you walk worthy of the Lord. So how do you walk worthy of the Lord? Fully pleasing Him, being fruitful. And there's four things here. Being fruitful in every good work. That's the first one. How do you walk in a way to worthy of the Lord? You need to be fruitful. You need to be increasing in the knowledge of God. That's number two. And then number three, verse 11, strengthened with all might. So are you fruitful? Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? And then are you strengthened with all might? And number four, in verse 12, are you giving thanks? And so today, as you examine your life, maybe you have the knowledge, maybe you have the understanding, but do you have this walk that Paul was praying for these Colossian believers? He was praying that they would be fruitful, that they would be increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, that they would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And then verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance And so these four things, Paul prayed that these individuals begin to take their knowledge, their foundation of the gospel, and their understanding, and apply it to their life as they walk through each day. And it's a challenge for all of us today as you think about these four situations. Are you, do you find these four situations in your life that you are walking and you are beginning to, it says here, do you bearing fruit in your life? Are you increasing in the knowledge? Are you continuing to increase? Because individuals sometimes come to Christ, they grow for a while, but then they stop reading God's word and they stop growing. But are you continually on a daily basis continuing to grow? And then also, are you strengthened by God through his Holy Spirit living within you? Are you strengthened with all might? And then also, are you giving thanks? Maybe if you look at your life and say, you know what, I'm not very thankful because you're not continuing to grow and mature. You're not continuing to walk. But Paul says here in verse 10, Paul, a faithful prayer, the source of fruitfulness was God alone. And think about our secular world today. They believe that the word religion means that you can do something in order to gain God's favor. If you do these good works, you will be accepted in God's sight. But when God stepped in and sent his son Jesus Christ, he changed it. Said, you know what? It's not just doing something in order to gain God's favor, but I'm going to give you by grace, I'm going to give you salvation, give you this gift of eternal life. And so it's not by good works, but it's by God's, the source of our fruitfulness. And he gave us this Holy Spirit, because in religion today, they say if your good works outweigh your bad works, you might get to heaven. But according to God's word, it says the source of your fruitfulness in your life, of good works, is not found in our sinful human nature. But as we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And then the God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, begins to change us and to produce his perfect righteousness in our lives. And it begins to change our sinfulness and begins to replace it with his holiness. And as we submit to the Holy Spirit, he begins to do that in our lives. It's only by God himself. And then we have the ability to live a life that does good works. It's only by God in us doing it. And as we try to do it in our own flesh, we will always fail. But as we submit to the Spirit, he begins to change in us. And the walk is day by day, little by little. And I remember when I was in high school and I first came to Christ, I thought, you know what, if I just do certain steps, you know, I'd be awesome, become super spiritual. But beginning to realize, you continue to fail. And God uses those opportunities, though, to grow you. But it takes a long process, and it's day by day, little by little. Spiritual maturity will take time. And we need to commit each day to the Lord and then depend on the Holy Spirit to lead us to apply biblical principles to situations we face. And it's kind of like, for example, about 5 years ago, I thought I was pretty healthy. And my job, though, involved me sitting on a forklift, and I didn't get a lot of exercise. And I worked up to 12 hours a day sometimes, and I worked up to 80 hours a week, and I was very busy. But I didn't realize that inside of me, the food I was putting into my body and the lack of exercise was causing a lot of bad issues in my life. And around the age of 30, I had high blood pressure, and I didn't realize it. But we went to Walmart one time with my wife and my parents, and they were all just testing their arm pressure for blood pressure. And I put my arm in, and it had been a while since I tested it, and it was really high. And my dad's like, you need to go to the doctor tomorrow. And so I went to the doctor, and I found out my cholesterol was so high that it couldn't be registered. And I was a young 30-year-old individual, but I was surprised at why would this happen. But because the food that I was intaking and then the lack of exercise was messing up with the blood pressure and the cholesterol the cholesterol was too high, they couldn't register it, and I had to begin to put on medicine. And my wife encouraged me to start. She had been jogging, so I had to get on a treadmill and begin jogging with her because they were concerned about my health. And so I was put on medicine and I began to exercise, and shortly after several months, my blood pressure and cholesterol came way down, and they were all happy. But it's an illustration. It didn't just happen overnight. It changed. When I started taking the medicine, it didn't just drop. It took up to a year before it came down to normal range. And I had to exercise. And I had to change the way I ate. And but it reminds us in our spiritual life today, it doesn't just happen overnight. It takes a long process. And if we neglect God's word and we neglect to pray and we neglect coming to church, we can begin to, as I fell away physically, we can also fall away spiritually. And we need to continue to stay faithfully and begin to continue to apply God's principles to our lives. And we need to also, it says here in verse 10, worthy of the Lord. And ultimately, it's all of our desires to when we get to heaven today, to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Hopefully today, it's your desire to be like Epaphras and be a faithful minister. And also says here, word fully pleasing him. And the word fully pleasing him is in all areas of your life, not just in certain small areas, but all areas of your life, your desire is to be fully pleasing to the Lord. And I have an illustration here. And just this past week, one of my daughters, it's constant struggle of young children to be selfish. But we were encouraged because our oldest daughter was showing kindness to another sister. And that encouraged us because they're beginning to show that my oldest daughter has placed her trust in Jesus Christ. And when she begins to show less selfishness and more kindness, it demonstrates that possibly the fruit of the Spirit is in her life. And she begins to show the love of her sister. And instead of just always being selfish, she begins to show the fruit of the Spirit in her life. And it encourages us. And so are you desire, and it also pleases us. But also, it says here, fully pleasing him. It's your desire as you wake up each morning to be fully pleasing to the Lord. Also, the word here we find is bearing fruit. And we can demonstrate to the world what it's like to be a Christian. And hopefully when they see us, they know what true Christianity is. They don't see hypocrisy, but they see an individual who is continuing to bear fruit and glorify him. Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We are visible fruit to the world." And so when the world looks at us, it should see Jesus Christ. It should see a regenerated individual. It should see an individual who is humble and is also following and yielded to the Holy Spirit. And is it also your desire to increase in the knowledge of God? 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. Men who have followed the Lord all their lives have not exhausted this resource." And remind me, as an individual, as I was in Bible college, and there was an 80-year-old pastor who was faithfully serving almost his entire life. And he was very respected and had pastored in many churches. But at the age of 80, he said, "You know what? I still don't know everything." And he said, "You know what? I still need to continue to learn." And so a pastor who has been faithfully teaching for many years, he still not arrived. Just as Paul said he had not arrived in Corinthians. Illustration: I thought I knew everything about my wife when I got married, and when we got married, you know, I thought I had known her for 2 years. We were best friends. We had done a lot of things with her, but you know what? When we got married, I learned a lot more things about her, as day by day went on, and she learned a lot of new things about me. And it kind of reminds us that you might think you know everything, but God will continue to reveal new things as you look into God's word, as you pray, as you submit to the Holy Spirit. He begins to reveal new truth to you. And in verse 11, it says here, Paul's prayer, he recognized the source of strength is God alone. And Paul's example, "When I am weak, he is strong within me." 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7, 9, and 10 talks about how that when Paul was struggling with something, he didn't reveal what that struggle was, he found that God revealed to him and says, "You know what? When you are weak, then I am able to fully reveal my strength in you." It reminds us today, when we think that we are good enough to continue to walk spiritually, we're relying on ourselves and we're relying on our flesh. And we need to be like Paul and realize, you know what? I need to trust more in Christ and not rely on my flesh. And Paul realized God is powerful enough to sustain the believer just as he is able to solve the problem. And God could have just reached into Paul's life and took away this struggle. But God allowed this struggle to remain because Paul asked three times, he says here in 2 Corinthians, but Paul allowed it just to continue, God allowed this struggle in Paul's life to remain because he wanted this individual to rely more on, that he wanted Paul to rely more on himself rather than his own flesh. And verse 12 then refers to the fourth point, thankfulness. Are you feeling angry, bitter, worn out? Reflect on God's goodness to you. And praise will not change our circumstances, but can change the way we view them. If you think about it today, maybe you're struggling with always being bitter or angry. And we should desire to be like Paul here and be thankful. And it demonstrates that we are after true Christianity when we're less bitter and angry and we show more thankfulness. The world will recognize this and recognize there's a change in us. And also says here, he's qualified us. And how has he qualified us? He's given us the ability that we are sharing in his inheritance. One day, when we get to heaven, we will have a home in heaven, and we'll live there forever in eternity. It's not something we deserve, but God has given it to us by his grace, and he's qualified us. Even the poorest Colossians were rich in Christ. And think about it. There was a slave individual. There was a husband, a wife, and their son. And there was Epaphras, and so there was different financial situations, but they were all rich in Christ. They were all heirs of the kingdom, and they could all be thankful because they might not be rich here on earth, but one day they will all be in the same level up in heaven. Romans says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Christians, we should be optimistic and generous to people and be thankful for the Lord has done in our lives. And it says here also in the end of verse 12, we are saints in the light. And it does not mean that we are more spiritual than other individuals, but as the Holy Spirit begins to shine through us, the world begins to see his fruit in our lives. And I hope that's our desire of all of you today, that you have a true Christianity. And as you look at this, Epaphras' example, and then how that they were not willing, Paul and Timothy were ceaseless in their prayers. And also in the very end here, the walk. Hopefully your walk, it demonstrates to the world that you have the light of Jesus Christ in your life. Let's close the application here. What areas of ministry today do I need to be faithful? Church attendance, prayer for other believers, being an encourager, supporting my pastor, loving the Lord, reading the Bible, or being a witness. Are these any areas of your life you need to grow in? The Colossians express love in the Spirit. Hopefully today there is love and compassion within you, and the fruit of the Spirit is beginning to be shown in your life. How do other people in your church, in the church, see me? Think about it today. When other people look at you, do they see the love of Christ in you? Just as Paul emphasized over and over in this book, the love of Christ that the Colossians had, hopefully in you today, when other people look at you, they see the love of Christ. Also outside of this church, do they see the love of Christ? When you're at work, do they see the love of Christ in you? And do you demonstrate that you're redeemed and you have God's blessing in your life? Also, do you walk worthy of the Lord? Am I praying for other believers? Do I have a daily time where I look into God's word? Do I pray? And I look for ways to serve others. Number four, I need to remember my source of strength is Christ alone. When I am weak, he is strong. What things irritate me today? How can I handle these situations in a way that pleases God? So when you go into the situation where it might cause you to be angry, you should desire to please God instead and rely on the Holy Spirit, yield to him. What things am I thankful for today? Verse 12. Write down five things I can thank God for today. And when you begin to think about things you're thankful, things that bother you don't seem to matter as much. And it changes the way you view that day. And so I encourage you today, examine your life. Do you have a true Christianity? Do you pray like Paul and Timothy did? Do you pray without ceasing? Are you like Epaphras, a faithful minister? And also, verses 10 through 12, are you willing to take your knowledge and understanding and use it in your walk? And are you bearing fruit? Are you ceaselessly praying? And do you, as it says here in verse 11 and 12, are you strengthened with the Lord? And verse 12, are you giving thanks? Do you have these four characteristics in your life? Is your walk demonstrating that you are a regenerated individual? Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this day, how you love and care for us. And I thank you for this passage, the example of Epaphras, who was a faithful servant. And I think also for Paul and Timothy, how they ceaselessly prayed for other believers. And also thank you that these Colossian believers, they did not just receive Christ and then go on their ways, but they had a walk that demonstrated they were truly regenerated. And they continued to bear fruit in their lives so that other people would see them and maybe turn to Christ. May we here have the same desire today to have a true Christianity, so when other people outside these doors see us, they might see the love of Christ in our lives and come to Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.